Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 5:08, 74 degrees on this Friday, May 2nd, 2025. And like every Friday, we bring in our attorney, Keith Figured, for Do I Have a Case of the Figured Law Group. Keith, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Thank you, Rob. Pleasure to be here.
So lots of things going on. Let's see what we can start off with here. And again, it's always those short to the point question that usually has the longest answer. But can you explain one's personal rights to safety while they're in their vehicle under Pennsylvania law?
All right. So I believe this arises in two circumstances, which would be during possibly a stop by a police officer and due to search and seizures, and then, of course, self-defense. So the first, particularly pertaining to the right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, under the constitutional protection, specifically the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution and other analogous provisions, they generally provide a right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures in the vehicle. And what that means is that a law enforcement officer typically must have either probable cause, reasonable suspicion, or consent in order to search your car. Now, in terms of the traffic stop, police may lawfully stop a vehicle if they observe a traffic violation or have reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. However, even during a valid stop, as most criminal attorneys would suggest, is that you maintain the right not to answer certain questions beyond providing basic identifying information, which is also a right. If an officer believes they see contraband or other probable cause or odors of like marijuana or evidence of weapons, that would allow for them to search without a warrant. So that would cover, I believe, the rights under unreasonable searches and seizures while in a vehicle. And then the second part of that is the right to self-defense. As some people may know, in Pennsylvania, you have a castle doctrine or stand your ground. So the castle doctrine in Pennsylvania traditionally covers a person's dwelling or home. However, the state law also grants certain self-defense rights in an occupied vehicle. If, and there are certain things that need to be met, and the first is that you have a legal right to be in the vehicle. You reasonably believe you or another occupant are in imminent danger of death, serious bodily injury, kidnapping, or sexual assault, and the person against whom you use the force is attempting to unlawfully enter your occupied vehicle or remove someone from it. So under those circumstances, Pennsylvania law does provide that you have the duty that you do not have a duty to retreat, i.e. escape, before using protective force. So basically what that means is even if you are capable of retreating, you don't have to. You do have the right to use protective force, including deadly force, if those legal requirements are met. And then, I mean, there's some other things such as passenger and driver safety regulations, but I don't think that was really what the purpose of the question is, and that's just dealing with child restraint laws and seatbelt laws. But I think those two areas primarily cover. There aren't any specific laws that come out and define your rights in a vehicle. It's kind of more under like a subcategory that you have rights while in the vehicle under these areas.
Now, this doesn't mean that you cannot possibly be arrested or charged or go have a trial ahead of you. It would just be, would this be an affirmative defense of your actions?
Correct. I mean, from what I would see it, particularly in a criminal case, I would think it would be something where if there was an improper search or seizure in that specific instance, it can preclude the use if that evidence or what was obtained from that unreasonable search and seizure can be possibly precluded. And then on the other side, the self-defense, then yes, I think if somebody was charged with murder, their affirmative defense would be that, you know, they were in their vehicle, and if they were able to meet those three elements or those parameters in order to justify the self-defense, then that would be their affirmative defense against the charge.
All right, on to the next question now. I work in a warehouse in Harrisburg and injured my back lifting heavy boxes due to faulty equipment. My employer says I'm not eligible for workman's compensation because I didn't report it immediately, but I was in too much pain to think clearly. Do I have a case to get compensation for my injury?
Okay, so the quick couple key points is, yes, you likely have a case or still have a case for workers' compensation. The reason being is it has to be reported, and this is assuming 120 days hasn't passed. Now, there's also exceptions to that. For instance, I mean, some injuries are deemed or termed repetitive traumas, which means the last day you worked is the last date of injury. So in a case like that, depending on the type of injury, now in this instance, it's a back injury, the repetitive type injuries usually deal more with like carpal tunnel or those types of issues. But the bottom line is there's many instances in which I get a call or a client contacts me and says or didn't report the claim right away. And it might not have to do with pain. It could be that they're in fear of what the employer might do. They don't want to lose their job. But what they don't realize is it's that notice and reporting that injury that actually protects the employee, because once they're on notice of that injury, the employee now has to take certain action. If that employee fails to report that injury and goes home, and then now the next day returns and all of a sudden, you know, they can't move and they have these severe issues, now the employer is wondering, well, did something happen since they left the premises? Did something happen at home? And that's basically why, and the issue with not reporting it right away is you allow for the employer now to deny the claim because they're uncertainty and it's not clear that it occurred unless you have a witness or another employee that witnessed the incident and can corroborate it. So it becomes a big issue. But under Pennsylvania law, you have 120 days from the date of your injury to report it to your employer. Once they report that injury, then the employer has 20 days to accept or deny the claim. And as I said, it's that reporting that protects you, because if you're not in a union, you're an at-will employee and can be let go at any time without reason. So if you are, say you have an injury and you don't report it and you don't see a doctor, and now you are still at work under full duty with no restrictions, if the employer lets you go, you have no recourse. Whereas if you report that and then treat with their panel doctor, and that panel doctor puts you on restrictions, under those restrictions, now you have protection. Because if you return to work under those restrictions and are fired, the law presumes that to be due to the work injury. And a lot of times that prevents the actual employer from firing you. So the bottom line is, if you didn't notify the employer right away, you do want to notify the employer as soon as possible that you realize it's going to be more of an issue than you realized. And then you also want to reach out to an attorney just to make sure, because especially in that circumstance, there's more of a chance of the case being denied, and you want to have an attorney ready to move forward. And as I always say with these comp cases, if they do pick up the claim, you get your benefits free and clear of any fee. The attorney only ends up getting a fee if they have to file, and if the claim is denied, you're going to have to file on the claim, and it takes some time to do that, which is why you want to have that attorney ready to go.
During a storm in Kingston, my neighbor's dead tree fell onto my property, damaging my garage and car. They knew the tree was rotting but didn't remove it. Do I have a case to make them pay for the repairs?
Okay, so laws around fallen trees and liability can vary quite a bit from state to state. So in a situation like this, it is advised to speak with an attorney. However, in a lot of jurisdictions, recovery is possible, and that could depend on state laws as well as local ordinances or even neighborhood associations, depending on the area in which you reside. But overall, the law primarily requires a duty to maintain trees. And what that means is, in many jurisdictions, homeowners have a duty to maintain their trees in a reasonably safe condition. And the last couple of years, specifically the last couple, with the introduction of these ash beetles and all these different invasive insects that are killing these trees, this is becoming more of an issue. And I'm seeing actually a lot more cases where trees are falling and either resulting in a wrongful death or serious injuries. But the bottom line is that if the trees appear to be in an unsafe condition, that means removing dead, diseased, or otherwise dangerous trees or limbs that could foreseeably cause damage if they fall. If it can be shown that the neighbor knew or should have known that the tree was dead, or dying or rotting, and took no action to remove or trim it, then that can provide a claim for negligence against the homeowner. Now, there are certain things you hear, the act of God defense, but that's primarily pertaining to a perfectly healthy tree. I mean, you can't go out and look at a perfectly healthy tree and say, hey, that tree looks like it's going to come down and cause damage or hurt somebody, whereas opposed to a tree that's half rotted away and hollow inside, it's pretty clear that and foreseeable that that can come down and either cause damage or injure somebody. And then in terms of the moving forward with the claim, of course, anytime something like that happens, or with any of these cases for that matter, you want to try to document as much as possible, especially depending on how close the tree is to the property line, such as taking photos and that type of stuff. And then you want to also, lastly, immediately contact your homeowner's insurance, because they may cover and go after the property owner themselves, which takes it out of your hands and having to worry about dealing with it. However, if you don't have the insurance, or for some reason it's excluded or they don't cover it, then you would take that evidence to an attorney and they would discuss your rights. And then also look at the local ordinances and other laws to see what, if any, recovery would be available.
All right, Keith, as always, in-depth, great answers there, guidance for our listeners. If someone wants to get in touch with you for a question they may not want on the air, how do they do that?
They can contact me directly via my cell phone, which rings directly to me at 570-954-9299. My email at keith@figuredlaw.com. And then, of course, I have through my website, which is figuredlaw.com. They could send inquiries through there pretty much 24/7.
All right. And if you want to get a question featured on a segment of Do I Have a Case, you can email me at rob.odonnell@odyssey.com, and we'll get one of those questions featured on a segment of Do I Have a Case. Keith, thanks for joining us. Hopefully that weather's not blowing through. It looks like it's a little north of us up on the New York border, but hopefully the storms aren't too bad.
Yeah, thank you, Rob, and I hope you and your listeners have a nice weekend.
You too. Thank you. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 526, 76 degrees. So for the next 10 or 12 days or so, you may want to look up and keep that helmet handy. A Soviet-era spacecraft is set to plunge to Earth a half a century after its failed launch to Venus. Spacecrafts could re-enter anywhere between 51.7 degrees north and south latitude, for as far north as London and Alberta, Canada, almost all the way down to South America's Cape Horn. So pretty much this thing can hit anywhere. Anywhere indeed. So Soviet-era spacecraft meant to land on Venus in the 1970s is expected to soon plunge uncontrolled back to Earth. It's too early to know where the half-ton mass of metal might come down or how much of it will survive reentry, according to space debris tracking experts. Dutch scientists predict the failed spacecraft will reenter around May 10th. He estimates it'll come crashing in at 150 miles per hour if it remains intact. While not without risk, we shouldn't be too worried, because we all know that most of the Earth is water. But that's still... there's a better chance that this comes back to Earth in one piece, because it still has its heat shields and it was made to enter Venus's heavy atmosphere. The object is relatively small, and even if it does break apart, the risk is similar to that of a random meteorite fall, so nothing different. Several of which have happened each year. You run a bigger risk of getting hit by lightning. But the... chance of the spacecraft actually hitting someone or something, although small, cannot be completely ruled out. The Soviet Union launched the spacecraft known as Cosmos 482 in 1972, one of the series of Venus missions, but it never made it out of Earth's orbit because of a rocket malfunction. Most of it came tumbling down within a decade, but the spherical object that's around 3 feet in diameter has been circling the world in a high elliptical orbit for the past 53 years, gradually dropping in altitude. It's quite possible that the 1,000-pound-plus spacecraft will survive reentry It was built to withstand the descent through the carbon dioxide thick atmosphere of Venus. Experts doubt the parachute system would work after so many years. The heat shield may also be compromised as it's been in orbit for so long. It would be better if the heat shields fail, which would cause the spacecraft to burn up during the dive into the atmosphere. The Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics said in an email, but if the heat shield holds, it'll re-enter intact and you'll have half-ton metal object falling from the sky. Now you need to ask yourself, this thing is only 3 feet wide. And it's 1,000 pounds? You got to ask, what's inside this thing, huh? Are they telling us the whole truth here? So the spacecraft could enter anywhere, again, between 51.7 degrees north, which is up London, Edmonton in Alberta, Canada, almost all the way down to South America's Cape Horn, which is the bottom of South America. So from Upper Canada down to the south of, you know, the United States is in there in full. But I guess in 10 days we'll find out. They'll be able to track it one way or another. But we'll see if it makes reentry, huh? But for the next 10 or 12 days, because it's just an estimate when it's come back, but they're pretty good at nailing this down. Look up. Might have some fireworks in the sky. Hopefully not all the way down to the ground. It's 5:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Well, my fellow Americans, as we stand tall in the spring of 2025, let's ignite the fire of our nation's spirit, drawing strength from our stories, shaping our week. This is the time to unite, to rise, to show the world the unbreakable resolve of the United States. Look around. Our nation pulses with action and ambition. This week, President Trump unveiled a bold federal budget proposal aiming to fuel our economy with the trillion-dollar military vision, tariffs to boost our revenues. Agree or disagree, this is America daring to dream big, charting the course to secure our future while sparking global trade debates. We don't shy away from tough choices. We face them head on because that's who we are, a nation of doers, builders, and innovators. Across our cities from Chicago to New York,
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Every day, protests echoed with passion as voices rose to defend the rule of law and challenge policies. This is the Democrats in action. Raw, vibrant, and unapologetic. We're people who speak our minds, who march for what we believe, and who never back down from shaping our destiny. In our economy, April brought 177,000 new jobs, surpassing expectations, proving that American workers and businesses are unstoppable. From small-town startups to corporate giants like Apple navigating tariff challenges, we adapt, we overcome, we thrive. This is the heartbeat of our nation, grit, ingenuity, and the relentless pursuit of prosperity. And let's not forget the spirit of discovery. At the AACR annual meeting in Chicago, our scientists showcased breakthroughs in cancer research using AI to predict and prevent disease. This is America leading the charge, not just for ourselves, but for humanity, because our patriotism isn't about borders. It's about lifting the world through our innovation. So stand proud, my friends. We are the nation that tames challenges, that turns dreams into reality, that writes history with every bold step. From the Kentucky Derby thundering horses to the policy battles in Washington, we are a symphony of strength and purpose. Let's honor the past, seize the moment, and charge towards the future where America shines brighter than ever. United, we are invincible. God bless the USA. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 542 here, 76 degrees. Let me go to the phone now. We have Russ on a cell phone about spaceships. Russ.
Yeah, I want to talk about that spaceship that's going to come into the land on Earth someplace, you know, and that next 10 days, you said?
Well, that's what the experts are saying, somewhere about the 10-day mark.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if the NASA will give a reward to anybody that could find pieces of that or even the whole thing intact, you know, and that because to do research on the thing, see what the Soviet Union was using, you know, in those days and that, and maybe get some technology from it, you know.
Well, it's a 1972 satellite that went up that was supposed to go to Venus, but what gets me is it's only 3 feet in diameter and it weighs 1,000 pounds, so that's could be some rare metals in there.
Well, it could be big enough to put a spider monkey in the thing, you know, and never know, and then see what was in the thing, you know. And are you familiar with the at the end of the Korean War, where the they flew an airplane over North Korea and dropped pamphlets? Anybody defects from the north to the south with the MiG-15 fighter jet, $100,000. Did you ever hear about that?
I did. That's happened on a couple occasions, and actually somebody did. A Russian pilot did defect with one of those planes.
Yeah, there's not only one, two, a MiG-15. Then one defected in 1975 with a F-25 Foxbat, too, and a land in Japan. That was the first, because they wanted it so bad, it was the first successful swept-wing airplane in the world. And that's why they wanted to do research on the thing.
And it's not common that this plane, the F-18 that fell off the USS Truman this past week, that is fully intact. Depending on which run it is, if it's a third run, then we're going to have to find it and get it because we don't want it falling into wrong hands because it is fully intact and it could be reverse engineered. Now, no one really knows how deep the water is there and such, but if it was retrievable, I'm sure that they'll be retrieving that F-18 for the very same reasons.
We have to get it whether it's intact or not, because there's a Super Hornet in that, and the research is very advanced on it, and there's things that other countries would just love to get it and sell it to the China or the Soviet Union. Any technology is valuable.
Indeed, especially if it's a third block, which is our most advanced F-18.
Yeah, right, the Super Hornets, fourth generation fires. We're into fifth generation and sixth generations now with this new F-87. And that's supposed to be a sixth generation.
We'll see where it comes out.
I was an aviation fanatic for about 10 years, so I've been studying this stuff, you know.
All right.
I'm not too much into it anymore. I still do a little bit of it. Okay, it was nice talking to you.
Thanks for calling in, Rush, and I guess in 10 days we'll have our answer on where this Russian satellite comes down.
Hope so.
All right, bye. Thank you, Russ. Have a great weekend. It's, listen, there's a couple things going on here that I want to get before we close down the show today. Did you see that this Luigi the Musical? Luigi, as in Luigi Mangione, the killer who hunted down a healthcare CEO and shot him in cold blood in the back in Midtown Manhattan. Well, Luigi the Musical is set to debut next month, and it's already sold out. It's already sold out. The accused murderer will be the subject of a new musical set to premiere next month in San Francisco, titled Luigi the Musical. Also appearing as characters in the musical will be two of Mangione's fellow inmates at the Metropolitan Detention Center, Sean Diddy Combs and Sam Bankman-Fried. The play is already sold out for its entire run. The premiere comes, and this is coming from People magazine. The premiere comes 99 years after Hart, a fictional character based on an accused murderer, made her Broadway debut in Chicago. Synopsis of the musical, which is set to run in Taylor Street Theater, suggests the work is more of a reimagining of that beloved Broadway classic than the original idea. But regardless, it doesn't say how many shows they're actually having here. But are we truly at a time where we're making a musical, Luigi the Musical, about a murderer who hasn't even stood trial yet? You know, they're still going through motions to suppress evidence and such, but you have to be kidding me. And the mere fact that it's sold out, even more so. I mean, we're truly at this stage as a people. It's interesting to say the least. With a little more infighting on the Democrat side of the aisle, three House Democrats withdrew their names from co-sponsorship of the newest Trump articles of impeachment. Three Democrats in the House of Representatives have quietly withdrawn their names from the list of co-sponsors for the articles of impeachment against President Trump on Tuesday, according to a report. Representative Jerry Nadler, Representative Robin Kelly, and Representative Kwesi Mufum each dropped their support for Representative Sri Thendar's impeachment resolution, which was filed earlier this week after finding out the filing was not approved by the party bigwigs. So the Democratic Party, the leadership of the Democratic Party in the House, did not approve this articles of impeachment bill that has been dropped. Well, three of them, after finding this out, Representative Nadler, Kelly, and Mufum, have withdrawn their names from it. The congressman removed himself as co-sponsors for House Resolution 353 because it was made aware that it was not cleared by Democrat leadership and not fully vetted legally, and he preferred to err on the side of caution, spokesperson for the 76-year-old congressman told news reporters. The congressman was under the impression that the resolution was drafted and reviewed by both the House Judiciary Committee and leadership when she originally signed on during a vote series on the floor, a representative for Kelly said to The Hill. But one remaining co-sponsor for the seemingly premature legislation is doubling down. Representative Jan Szkowski maintained that Trump violated the Constitution. On Monday, officially filed paperwork including seven articles of impeachment based on Trump's administration failure to accommodate the repatriation of alleged MS-13 gang member Kilmar Abrego Garcia. Donald Trump has already done real damage to our democracy by defying the unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling that has been the final straw, Theodore said, 70 said in a monologue posted on 8, but that's really not what happened. He did not defy a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court decision. The 9-0 Supreme Court decision said that he should facilitate the return. And they said, if they send him back, we'll let him in. That's facilitating it. But, you know, it's time we impeach Donald Trump. So they're going down this again. And listen, this was losing for them the first couple of times they did it. It's losing for them now. You have James Carville and Hogg fighting on TV on who should support who and who's going to be primaried with our own party. It's going to be an interesting couple of years coming up in the future here. And here you go. You have someone, a member of Congress, dropping in articles of impeachment. You have a couple of members, leadership. Jerry Nadler, you know, holds some pretty strong positions in Congress. Howe beats me. I mean, you ever seen the guy? He can barely talk. He can barely sit down. But the fact that it was not vetted by Democrat leadership in the House and some members said, well, I'm going to pull my name from it because of this, just shows how disorganized this is there, how disorganized their messaging is. If it wasn't for the media, if we had an honest and open mainstream media across the segments where politicians know they couldn't get away with this. I mean, whatever messaging agency the Democrats have where it says you should use more foul language and stern language, where, you know, that's been the thing for a couple of weeks. And then you have Congresswoman Ilhan Omar outright cursing out a reporter just yesterday. That's kind of taken off by wildfire. And listen, she doubled down on it and said, yeah, I said that, and she said it again during her post. Regardless of what you think of the media organization interviewing you, regardless of what you think of the people who don't support you, your constituents who may not have voted for you, that's your answer as a congresswoman of the United States? F you? And listen, the question was a valid question. Didn't want to hear it. Just F you. I mean, this is where we've come to. The straws are not they're not grasping for straws. They're playing pickup sticks on the Democratic Party. And it's crazy that this is it's the stage we're at. It's the stage we're at. And, you know, unfortunately, I think it gets worse. Unfortunately, I think as desperation sets in, it will just be worse. And because I think they're looking for that spark that'll take the attention away from everything. And hopefully it doesn't come. But we'll see. To end on a good note today, real quick, I saw this in the news where students can earn a teaching degree through a new program in Hazleton. And, you know, I love when people think out of the box like this. Presidents of Luzerne County Community College and Commonwealth University of Pennsylvania unveiled the program on Thursday with leaders of Hazleton Area School District where graduates can teach. Retain them, train them. Hazleton Area School Board member said after a news conference. Starting in the fall, students can enter the program through which they will earn an associate's degree during the first 2 years from the LCCC and then complete their bachelor degrees through classes taught during years 3 and 4 by visiting instructors from the Commonwealth University created by a merger of state universities at Bloomberg, Lock Haven, and Mansfield. Annual tuition is $6,600 at the Luzerne County Community College and just over $7,700 at Commonwealth. So the four-year total is $28,632. Listen, under $30,000 for a bachelor's degree in a marketable skill, not a bad thing. But the $10,000 that Pennsylvania now pays for student teaching, usually done in the first semester of the senior year, reduces that cost to under $20,000. So for $18,632, you can get your bachelor's degree and teaching certificate. Federal and state grants and scholarships will further reduce the price for some students. So you can knock that down even further. And if you're a commuter, if you're not living in the school, using their meal plan, sounds like a pretty good investment to where you could spend under $19,000. Now with fees and such like that, you're probably talking $22,000, $23,000 altogether. But go out and make $40,000 starting up to the 60s, 70s, some places 80s, depends where you go. I mean, a teacher in New York City is making over $100,000. Yes, cost of living's a lot more. But, you know, I love when there's programs like this that happen. And I think we should do more. Like I say, bring EMT courses to our high schools to where you can make our high school students certified EMTs so they have a marketable skill set that they can work for $15 an hour somewhere. Serve the community if they want to. Help their fellow students. God forbid there's an emergency at the school. We need to start thinking out of the box like this and doing things to better prepare our kids, our young adults, for a future. Just like the financial responsibility, where you have to have a basic knowledge of finances when you graduate high school now in Pennsylvania. How to balance a checkbook, you know, what loans are, what compounded interest is. These are things you need to learn because if you start that early, and I don't care if it's putting $100 a month away in a compounding interest IRA that makes, you know, your basic standard and poor market rate. When you turn 50, you may never have to work again. You start small, but you keep adding up on it. But good direction here, and it's a good joint project from many different organizations, Luzerne County Community College, the Commonwealth University, help from the Bloomsburg, Lock Haven, and Mansfield group, as well as the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the taxpayer, who's paying student teachers now $10,000 to knock that tuition down. Good stuff happening. It's 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio for this Friday, May 2nd, 2025. Don't cancel your weekend plans. There'll be spotty showers through the weekend, but overall, not bad. Your typical spring weekend here in Northeast Pennsylvania. First weekend in May, we can do it. We can get through. Next thing, we'll be complaining about how hot it is. It's hot. We already had a couple hot days, and I was already complaining, so I know you're there as well. I appreciate you all for joining the show today. We'll be here next week. Thank you, Jake, in the control room for making all the musical selections and making the show what it is each and every day.
Thanks, Rob.
No, Brian. Paul Michaels, getting that news to you, ciphering through that stuff is like nailing Jell-O to a tree, especially with the ABC prompts. So all the prompts in the world go to Paul Michaels in there.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.